Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God. To begin with, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 27, beginning at verse 1. One day when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, his older son, and said, "My son." "Yes, father," Esau replied. "I'm an old man now," Isaac said, "and I don't know when I may die. Take your bow and a quiver full of arrows and go out into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die." But Rebekah overheard what Isaac had said to his son Esau. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, she said to her son Jacob, "Listen, I overheard your father say to Esau, 'Bring me some wild game and prepare me a delicious meal. Then I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die.' Now, my son, listen to me. Do exactly as I tell you. Go out to the flocks and bring me two fine young goats. I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies." "But look," Jacob replied to Rebekah, "my brother Esau is a hairy man, and my skin is smooth. What if my father touches me? He'll see that I'm trying to trick him, and then he'll curse me instead of blessing me." But his mother replied, "Then let the curse fall on me, my son. Just do what I tell you. Go out and get the goats for me." So Jacob went out and got the young goats for his mother. Rebekah took them and prepared a delicious meal, just the way Isaac liked it. Then she took Esau's favorite clothes, which were in the house, and gave them to her younger son, Jacob. She covered his arms and the smooth part of his neck with the skin of the goats. Then she gave Jacob the delicious meal, including freshly baked bread. So Jacob took the food to his father. "My father," he said. "Yes, my son," Isaac answered. "Who are you, Esau or Jacob?" Jacob replied, "It's Esau, your firstborn son. I've done as you told me. Here is the wild game. Now sit up and eat it so you can give me your blessing." Isaac asked, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" The Lord your God put it in my path," Jacob replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come closer so I can touch you and make sure that you really are Esau." So Jacob went closer to his father, and Isaac touched him. "The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's," Isaac said. But he did not recognize Jacob because Jacob's hands felt hairy just like Esau's. So Isaac prepared to bless Jacob. "But are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "Yes, I am," Jacob replied. Then Isaac said, "Now, my son, bring me the wild game. Let me eat it, and then I will give you my blessing." So Jacob took the food to his father, and Isaac ate it. He also drank the wine that Jacob served him. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come a little closer and kiss me, my son." So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced, and he blessed his son. He said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord has blessed. From the dew of heaven and the richness of the earth, may God always give you abundant harvests of grain and bountiful new wine. May many nations become your servants, and may they bow down to you. May you be the master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. All who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, And almost before Jacob had left his father, Esau returned from his hunt. Esau prepared a delicious meal and brought it to his father. Then he said, "Sit up, my father, and eat my wild game, so you can give me your blessing." But Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" Esau replied, "It's your son, your firstborn son, Esau." Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, "Then who just served me wild game? I have already eaten it, and I blessed him just before you came. And yes, that blessing must stand." When Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry. "Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too," he begged. But Isaac said, "Your brother was here and he tricked me. He has taken away your blessing." Esau exclaimed, "No wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as the firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. Oh, haven't you saved even one blessing for me?" Isaac said to Esau, "I have made Jacob your master and have declared that all his brothers will be his servants. I have guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine. What is left for me to give you, my son?" Esau pleaded, "But do you have only one blessing? Oh, my father, bless me too." Then Esau broke down and wept. Finally, his father Isaac said to him, "You will live away from the richness of the earth and away from the dew of the heaven above. You will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck." From that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing. And Esau began to scheme, "I will soon be mourning my father's death. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But Rebekah heard about Esau's plans, so she sent for Jacob and told him, "Listen, Esau is consoling himself by plotting to kill you. So listen carefully, my son. Get ready and flee to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay there with him until your brother cools off. When he calms down and forgets what you have done to him, I will send for you to come back. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm sick and tired of those local Hittite women. I would rather die than see Jacob marry one of them." End of Genesis chapter 27. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for the counsel, the wisdom, the strength, the encouragement, the insight that you pour into our hearts and our minds as we read and meditate on your word. Thank you for the powerful wisdom and insights in this chapter we've just read about prayer and about seeking you and about putting our faith to work. Lord, thank you, Father, for the prayer life of Isaac. And thank you for how that when he prayed, he considered it done the moment he prayed. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called us to pray and believe that we receive it when we ask for it. Lord, teach us and anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be believers that are wise enough to believe that we receive the moment we ask as well, in Jesus' name. And Lord, anoint all of our prayer lives. Bless each of our prayer lives indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. More and more teach us how to pray. And more set us on fire with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to take a moment to share an article that we have wrote and placed on the AFA stand, and one we've shared before, and a message we've shared before, but we want to continue to encourage you to become diligent as a student of Scripture. The article is entitled, God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. In Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Again, Hebrews 4:12. Practicing daily spiritual habits are necessary in our daily walk with the Lord. Why? Because followers of Christ are to be passionately faithful in following Him. In life, we form habits to help us consistently do things that are important to us, habits that help us to accomplish the goals we believe are critical to our lives. I pretty regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in God's Word every single day. This habit is one of the most important to establish in all of our lives. Why 3 chapters and why every day? If a believer reads 3 chapters in the Word of God every day, that can be a basic spiritual meal for them. It might be that you read the same chapter 3 times over, or you may read 3 different chapters. Doing either one is very fruitful and wise. How is this helpful? The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's one-on-one time talking and spending time with Jesus Himself. It's your daily appointment time with God. The Lord Jesus will spend as much time with you as you will spend with Him in His Word. It's important for us to read the Word of God every day. Just as our bodies need physical food every day, so too must we feed our spirits daily as well. God's Word is food for our spirits, like physical food is food for our physical bodies. Feeding your physical body every day can help you to become strong, vibrant, and healthy. Feeding your spirit the Word of God every day can help you to become strong, vibrant, and spiritually healthy as well. Now, if a man or woman only ate a small snack once every other day, very soon he or she would grow physically weak. Likewise, when a believer only reads a verse or two from the Word of God every day or every other day, he or she will become spiritually weak as well. Sadly, it appears that too many believers live on what you might call a quote-unquote starvation diet spiritually. It's spiritual neglect. Too many believers may not even pick up a Bible for days. How tragic. It's for this reason that many believers are spiritually anemic, spiritually weak and frail when it comes to spiritual things. My suggestion to you is, today, start the habit of reading no less than 3 chapters in God's Word every day. It's a way of blessing and rewarding yourself. See Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, and see Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Why not start rewarding yourself today with just such a habit? Here are 10 great reasons to start reading God's Word every single day. Number 1, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Number 2, it gives clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Thirdly, reading the Word daily empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, 6 and 7. 4, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more clearly. See 1 Corinthians 1, 5. Number 5, reading the Word daily ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. A 6th reason, it helps you maintain your mental health. Number 7, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life as well. And it increases your wisdom. 8, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. 9, it enhances your intellect and personality. It literally can increase your IQ. And a 10th reason to read the Word daily is because it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians 1:2, 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:2, and Galatians 5:22. Reading 3 chapters a day from the Word of God will bless you tremendously. Let's make it a high priority. And parents, we're wise to have our children read 3 chapters out loud to us every day as well. It will greatly bless them and you and your home. Again, the title of that article, God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be right back.
Last night put the heavy on me. Woke up and I'm feeling lonely. This world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up. Some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough.
walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff,
they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. 'Cause all I know.
The music of Toby Mac with I Just Need You. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read your word. Thank you for the wisdom, the power, the grace that rests upon your word. And thank you for the blessing that is ours as we take time daily in your word. Thank you for all those who've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you, Lord, again for every believer listening. Thank you for all those that are listening and all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. So we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. We pick up now reading through the Word of God as we pick up now in 2 Kings chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Uzziah, son of Amaziah, began to rule over Judah in the 27th year of the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecoliah from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. But he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. The Lord struck the king with leprosy, which lasted until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house. The king's son, Jotham, was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. The rest of the events in Uzziah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, and his son Jotham became the next king. Zechariah, son of Jeroboam II, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 6 months. Zechariah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, as his ancestors had done. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then Shalom, son of Jabesh, conspired against Zechariah, assassinated him in public, and became the next king. The rest of the events in Zechariah's reign are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. So the Lord's message to Jehu came true. Your descendants will be kings of Israel down to the fourth generation. Shalom, son of Jabesh, began to rule over Israel in the 39th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. Shalom reigned in Samaria only 1 month. Then Menahem, son of Gadi, went to Samaria from Tirzah and assassinated him, and he became the next king. The rest of the events in Shalom's reign, including his conspiracy, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. At that time, Menahem destroyed the town of Tappuah and all the surrounding countryside as far as Tirzah because its citizens refused to surrender the town. He killed the entire population and ripped open the pregnant women. Menahem, son of Gadi, began to rule over Israel in the 39th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 10 years, but Menahem did what was evil in the Lord's sight. During his entire reign, he refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria invaded the land, but Menahem paid him 37 tons of silver to gain his support in tightening his grip on royal power. Menahem extorted the money from the rich of Israel, demanding that each of them pay 50 pieces of silver to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned from attacking Israel and did not stay in the land. The rest of the events in Menahem's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Menahem died, his son Pekahiah became the next king. Pekahiah, son of Menahem, began to rule over Israel in the 50th year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 2 years, but Pekahiah did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Then Pekah, son of Remaliah, the commander of Pekahiah's army, conspired against him. With 50 men from Gilead, Pekah assassinated the king, along with Argob and Ariah, in the citadel of the palace at Samaria, and Pekah reigned in his place. The rest of the events in Pekahiah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Pekah, son of Remaliah, began to rule over Israel in the 52nd year of King Uzziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 20 years, but Pekah did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. During Pekah's reign, King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria attacked Israel again, and he captured the towns of Ijon, Abed-Beth-Maacah, Genoa, Kadesh, and Hazor. He also conquered the regions of Gilead, Galilee, and all of Naphtali, and he took the people to Assyria as captives. Then Hoshea, son of Elah, conspired against Pekah and assassinated him. He began to rule over Israel in the 20th year of Jotham, son of Uzziah. The rest of the events in Pekah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Jotham, son of Uzziah, began to rule over Judah in the second year of King Pekah's reign in Israel. He was 25 years old when He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Jotham did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. He did everything his father Uzziah had done, but he did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. He rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord. The rest of the events in Jotham's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. In those days, the Lord began to send King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah of Israel to attack Judah. When Jotham died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, and his son Ahaz became the next king. 2 Kings chapter 16. Ahaz, son of Jotham, began to rule over Judah in the 17th year of King Pekah's reign in Israel. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. He did not do what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord his God, as his ancestor David had done. Instead, he followed the example of the kings of Israel, even sacrificing his own son in the fire. In this way, he followed the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the pagan shrines and on the hills and under every green tree. Then King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah of Israel came up to attack Jerusalem. They besieged Ahaz, but could not conquer him. At that time, the king of Edom recovered the town of Eloth for Edom. He drove out the people of Judah and sent Edomites to live there as they do to this day. King Ahaz sent messengers to King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria with this message: I am your servant and your vassal. Come up and rescue me from the attacking armies of Aram and Israel. Then Ahaz took the silver and gold from the temple of the Lord and the palace treasury and sent it as a payment to the Assyrian king. So the king of Assyria attacked the Aramean capital of Damascus and led its population away as captives, resettling them in Kir. He also killed King Rezin. King Ahaz then went up to Damascus to meet with King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. While he was there, he took special note of the altar. Then he sent a model of the altar to Uriah the priest, along with its design in full detail. Uriah followed the king's instructions and built an altar just like it, and it was ready before the king returned from Damascus. When the king returned, he inspected the altar and made offerings on it. He presented a burnt offering and a grain offering. He poured out a liquid offering, and he sprinkled the blood of peace offerings on the altar. Then King Ahaz removed the old bronze altar from its place in front of the Lord's temple, between the entrance and the new altar, and placed it on the north side of the new altar. He told Uriah the priest, use the new altar for the morning sacrifices of burnt offering, the evening grain offering, the king's burnt offering, and grain offering, and the burnt offerings of all the people, as well as their grain offerings and liquid offerings. Sprinkle the blood from all the burnt offerings and sacrifices on the new altar. The bronze altar will be for my personal use only. Uriah the priest did just as King Ahaz commanded him. Then the king removed the side panels and basins from the portable water carts. He also removed the great bronze basin called the Sea from the backs of the bronze oxen and placed it on the stone pavement. In deference to the king of Assyria, he also removed the canopy that had been constructed inside the palace for use on the Sabbath day, as well as the king's outer entrance to the temple of the Lord. The rest of the events in Ahaz's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Ahaz died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, and his son Hezekiah became the next king. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word daily. And thank you for the opportunity for us to live a life in cooperation with your Holy Spirit every single day. Thank you for the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the fact that He dwells inside of us. He's a guide. He's our counselor. He's our encourager. He's joy. He's peace. He's life. He's so many things. Thank you for the opportunity to live in cooperation with Him every day. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us to be a people that are listening to your Holy Spirit and flowing in the river of your Holy Spirit more and more faithfully every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a your name that tears down walls, and every enemy will fall. So we will stand and we will fight, that every wrong would be made right. There is power in this room. Oh, I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life.
Music of Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Lord, again, thank you for your word. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would cause us to have a growing hunger for your word, and help us to be wise enough to fill our hearts and our minds with your word every day, and help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read daily, and to have them to read 3 chapters at least out loud to us on a daily basis, so that they too can receive the riches, the glory, the grace, the blessing that's found in the treasure of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people brings. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan, this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction, because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when he told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Reading that verse again. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. And we are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they received from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command: those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Stay away from them so they will be ashamed. Going back to verse 13. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Stay away from them so that they will be ashamed. Don't think of them as enemies, but warn them as you would a brother or sister. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. I do this in all my letters to prove they are from me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. End of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and end of the book of 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 1 beginning at verse 1. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God our Savior and Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. I'm writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculation, which don't help people live a life of faith in God. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. But some people have missed this whole point. They have turned away from these things and spend their time in meaningless discussions. They want to be known as teachers of the law of Moses, but they don't know what they are talking about, even though they speak so confidently. Verses 1 through 7, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Lord, thank you for every believer listening. Thank you for every couple that is listening, husband and wife that's represented. And thank you for every family that's represented that's listening today as well. Thank you for the opportunity that you give to each of us to bring prayer more into our lives as individual believers. Thank you for the opportunity for us to pray together more as couples, husbands and wives. And thank you for the opportunity for us to pray more together as families. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Help us to be more prayerful as individual believers. Father, bless. Thank you again for all that are listening today and all those who've lifted up in prayer today. Bless each and every one of us in each of our prayer lives. Indeed, expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. In Jesus' name. And Lord, set us all on fire afresh with the spirit of prayer, praise, worship, and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Father, anoint the prayer life and bless tremendously the prayer life of every couple listening, every husband and wife that's listening. Set them on fire as a couple with the spirit of prayer. Help them to be very diligent in taking the time to pray together every single day. And Lord, thank you for each family that's represented and listening. Father, set every family on fire with the spirit of prayer. Anoint and prosper the prayer life of every family listening and represented in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that you've called us, in fact, you've told us in your word to pray without ceasing. And you refer to the church as being the house of prayer. So clearly you're teaching us and calling us to be a people that recognize that prayer is critical to everything in the kingdom of God. More and more, teach us to walk in prayer all the time. Teach us how to pray without ceasing. Set us on fire with the spirit of prayer that would encourage us and teach us and help us to do just that, to pray without ceasing every single day. We thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, more and more, teach us how to pray. Teach us to be more effective in every part of our prayer lives. Thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, the joy, and the blessings that are ours as we live lifestyles full of prayer, praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for health and strength, the chance to know you, to serve you, the opportunity to read your word daily, the opportunity to walk with you in prayer every day as well. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer and commit your heart and your life and place your heart and your life in the Lord's hands? Would you pray this with me now, again, as a salvation or rededication prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me with an everlasting love. You loved us so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all our sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to spend time in your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we very much want to be in touch with you. My email, once again, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and put down roots deep in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please be sure and get in touch with us. Again, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, God's Word, 3 chapters a day, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.